You're listening to Valley of Praise on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Well, it's a good morning and welcome to the Valley of Praise right here on the Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. Don't we all love a beautiful story, a story with a beautiful ending? I know for one that I do. In a world where challenges can sometimes feel overwhelming, it's a true blessing when we hear stories of God's faithfulness and provision. And today we're beginning a testimony. We're going to be listening to a testimony that I believe will really speak to your heart. And we have the privilege of hearing a testimony from Mapuloho Tamai, a person who has faced a gut-wrenching experience of losing their job, something many of us can relate to. But what makes the story even more incredible is the powerful way God responded to their prayers. And she's going to be telling us more of these details. I don't want to preempt this story, but I love. And on the 18th of January this year, we were at the virtual prayer ministry, get together on a Sabbath as we were closing the 10 days of prayer, 14 days of prayer for them. And she shared her testimony. And as the divine service ended, I went to her and I said, I'd like other brothers and sisters around the world to hear of this testimony. And she's given us that privilege, and she's on the line this morning with us. Mapulo, good morning, and welcome to the Adventist World Radio.
Good morning, Tammy. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much. And so if you hear any sounds, ladies and gentlemen, there's load shedding in Lesotho right now, so don't worry, bear with us. But Mapulo, how is the land of the mountains, the mountainous land? How is it in Lesotho today?
It is. It's beautiful. It's sunny. Mm. Except it's probably too hot.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that there are people that are used to snow and all of that, extreme temperatures for us, like extreme heat, is not something that we can bear. So the temperatures have been quite high.
Yeah.
In the past week, over the past week. So,
Yeah.
It's unbearable outside.
Mm. And we pray for rain, because I know we get, South Africa, we get water from you guys. May the God Lord continue blessing you with snow and water.
Okay, yeah. No, water we have in abundance.
Yeah. Mapulo, tell me, I've always had this question about that Sotho blanket. What do you call it in Sotho? What's the proper name for that blanket?
Seanamarena. That's the generic name.
I am not going to try. Ladies, you heard it for yourself. But that's, I've always wanted to know what it's called. Now, let's get... Very, very powerful name. But I think I get the sense of what it means. But anyway, let's get into our conversation this morning. And I want you to share your testimony with us. Take us to the beginning. What happened?
Okay. In 2021, I was fortunate enough to get a fresh start, which I needed. I needed to start my life from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the time, my family was broken. So for me, I felt like I needed a fresh start away from home where nobody knows me, literally.
Yeah.
So I started early. I started 2019 to try find a job in Africa, our neighboring country.
Yeah.
It's just that when COVID hit, then all stopped. And then in 2021, things stabilized. That's how I eventually got a job in March from 2021.
Yeah.
And then in May, Cape Town.
Yeah.
So Cape Town is 200 from home, so literally it was the break that I needed. And I think that's in confessing is Isaiah chapter 58 verse 11, where the Lord had promised to satisfy us in a season of trouble. So I knew that the job of the Lord, because at that time, if you remember, that is when people were getting retrenched, people were getting laid off, the companies were just closing, but that is the time that I found a job. So I always knew that it was just from the Lord. But then, of course, things progressed. So in 2022, then the minister then changed regulations to say you cannot get a work permit if you do not have an employment offer. But now, unfortunately, even with the employment offer, they need you to have a valid work permit in order for you to get an employment. So it's like a chicken and egg situation. It's a predicament. And unfortunately, at the time, I was already in the system. Yeah, so I think I need to dodge bullets 2022, 2023, and then in 2024. That is when my contract and my employment contract ended. I could not secure the next one, and then the work permit ended.
Yeah.
So now I was kicked out of the system. I couldn't get a job. I couldn't get a work permit. So,
and And can I, you know, the Bible talks a lot about these situations, Mapuluho, the situation of being a foreigner. At that time, how did you feel like knowing that now I'm in a foreign country, but I'm inside, and my country is inside this country? How does it feel to be a foreigner? So that we can understand this from a biblical point of view, and you're trying, you're pushing. I'm sure you did everything within your power to get another permit. As somebody who has experienced being a foreigner, what's the experience like?
It's hard. It is hard. I don't even want to share South Africa. We are totally landlocked by South Africa.
Yeah.
I mean, without South Africa, then we sort of like don't have presence. So yes, but I think I one thing that I learned is that I had enjoyed Cape Town as a tourist, and then I was also doing my honors degree at the University of Cape Town, so it was nice coming in and out. But I didn't know once you are now set, then it's a different thing altogether. And then I think that's when I think I grew an appreciation for Gauteng as a province. The place of stay, because Gauteng is indeed a rainbow nation. But when you get to Cape Town, it's a different.
You spend
a very long time without a sense of belonging. You don't belong among black people. You also don't belong even with the white people. You are lost for some time. So I think I found refuge at church. That is where for me I started. Monday to Friday, I knew that I had to deal with my colleagues, but on Sabbath, I knew that I'm going home to find people who are loving, people who are hugger, people who ask how big you are. So in my head, I had not imagined that I'm going to be like a foreigner, because as I said, Lesotho is totally landlocked by South Africa. So you would not expect it be a sense of you being a foreigner. But I did experience
So definitely, this is why God is always admonishes us around, you know, being unjust and being unkind to foreigners, because he says to the Israelites, "You were once foreigners." And so, I guess the challenge for us as Christians, there's also that challenge to say, there's a need for us to treat any foreign person with love and kindness that comes from heaven above.
Amen.
Now let's talk about the period now that you've lost your job, because one of the things that happens when you lose your job is you're hoping for a miracle, you're hoping something will happen. Emotionally, what happens to you at that time?
It's self blame, and also self doubt. You begin to have, like, you ask yourself, serious questions. Was it a good idea for me to come to this country in the first place? Did I do it? And then it was like a roller coaster of today you think, okay, I'm still thank God for the gift of life. But you know, you're just triggered. And I think for me, like, oh my God, everything that I'm touching, crumbling. Maybe right now for me to end my life. But I think this that prevented me from doing it, I didn't know what to do. As soon as I
Mapulo,
mission.
Can I interject there? Can I just ask a question? Am I able to call you directly? Because I'm not sure you are in Lesotho, and I'm not sure if one. So Mapulo, let's go back to the emotional aspect of you now losing your job. Emotionally, because I know that when you lose a job, you find yourself in a different emotional state. Where were you emotionally? What happened to you? How were you feeling?
Okay. Yeah, I think emotionally it has an element of self-blame and also just self-doubt. Because you'll begin to ask yourself questions like, was this a good idea for me to come here? And also, if am I not a good enough candidate? Why am I not getting selected? Why is it that there's so many people working and I'm not amongst the working population? And then also, I think the biggest thing, people who have not been, who have not experienced an employment gap, I don't think they understand this. In the eyes of people that are looking at it from outside, it looks as if I don't have a job and all I need is just money.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, there's so many other things that spring from just the fact, just you losing your job. So I did get to that point where I really felt like everything I'm touching is crumbling down. So honestly, I got to a point where I wanted to just, you know, end my life. And the one thing I will say that prevented me from doing it was my kids. It was honestly not some scripture somewhere. It was just my kids. I knew I had to make it. Like in my head, I felt like if I can know what to do with them, then I'll be ready to leave. So that was the burning question for me. That was the thing that I couldn't, I think that's the part of the puzzle that I could not resolve. And so then I remained, you know, because like I had already said, now there's a broken home, there's this, and these are two kids. The other one is six, the other one is seven. And I was feeling very helpless, I will say, for some time. You will experience it because you're like, what can I do?
Yeah.
How can I change the situation? I have you every single day that comes with bad news. You losing the house, losing the car, and also just losing a sense of belonging.
Yeah,
and I remember trying to attend one media's DASA event.
Yeah,
so now we're being addressed by people from a professional cluster. And I could not relate to what was being said. I was like, I don't even think I should have been here in the first place. So you don't know who you are. You are trying to navigate your new normal, and it something is just not right. And then I remember how also I would always be faced with constant calls and emails from financial institutions. And so it wasn't easy. And I remember even this, just this past December, I was like, you know what, I'm going to attend this DASA year-end conference. I'm hoping to get spiritual revival. Then when I got to the place, the car that I was using broke down. And then I was told that I found a mechanic. The mechanic was like, you're going to have to pay close to 10,000.
Wow.
And that time I am out. You know, and obviously the first thing that comes is you should not have come here.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And then I remember also you'll be doing constant strides just to keep afloat. Because I lost my job on the 15th of April, that's when my contract ended. And then in June when the kids came home to Lesotho and they were supposed to come back for good. Then I got an interview. It was a physical interview, and I was like, I'm sure God cannot allow me to travel so many kilometers for nothing. So then I took it back. We went back, and then their father stepped in to try to assist so that we can they can continue with their studies. Because now the other thing I was caught in between is now I'm going to have to take kids out of school, and it's in the middle of the year. So I didn't want, I was hoping that in everything I'm going to go through, then the kids are not going to be affected. But at this time now, I've already lost the house, trying to go back. And so after going back, we're sort of like homeless because I was staying at friends, but also feeling like I'm staying, living in my car, because if I needed to change, I needed to go to a car to get this and that, you know, until in September, that's when we decided, no, I don't think I can keep up. We just need to go back home. Because remember, also Cape Town is quite an expensive place. So you cannot be in Cape Town and you're jobless. You don't have any source of income. So I decided, let's just pack our bags and go home. So, yeah.
And when you're talking like this, I'm trying to picture you, Mapuloko. You are now saying you had your own house. Now you don't have a house. You're living from your car. You're living with friends, and your pride, your sense of pride as a human being, you feel like you've hit rock bottom, and. How does this tie then into your spiritual life at this point? Your sense of pride, you feel useless at that time. Spiritually,
One thing I learned also in this phase is that certain things are just it's just always privilege talking. Things like your pride, things like risk, things like security, things like this is healthy, this is not healthy. All of those things, we speak about them. Us being able to speak about them, it's just privilege, you know. Because if you remember when I was giving my testimony, I told the church that I could not even afford to come to the place, to the 10 days of prayer celebration. I had to literally find two strangers on Facebook who were going in the direction of where I was going. They paid me, and then I was able to put in money for petrol. And at that time, you're not thinking about your pride, because people are seeing you post on Facebook and you want people who are going to help you put in petrol. You're not thinking about safety. You're not thinking about security. So honestly, sometimes life throws you at a point where you realize that some of these words are just privilege, and I'm privileged to be talking about what about my pride, you know. But spiritually, I felt I was broken. I was broken because I think I was thinking about the name of the Lord that is going to be put to shame, because people know me. They know it, like everyone that knows me, they know I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm a Christian. And also, I'm coming from a village. When you leave, the whole village knows. Whether you tell them or you don't, they know. Even when you are back, it's the same thing. Everybody knows, oh, she's back, you know. So I had to deal with all of that. And also, I think the other thing that I could not come to terms with is the fact that I'm raising little girls. And we had started including it in our daily devotion. Every time when they prayed, they would say, Lord, can you please give Mama a job? And so I think I was worried to say, these girls are little. I'm still trying to introduce them to the Lord. And please, Lord, for their sake, can you just answer this prayer? But I think at the time when I even gave up and even resorted to going home, I think I was reminded that I am not the Holy Spirit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that to convict hearts and to bring people to the Lord. So I decided to remove it from me, to say, it's fine. God will work it out in his own way. But at the time, I was feeling like, how can God deny the prayers of little children, you know? And also just going back home now, would get to church, and then you find that, oh, there's a children's program going on. And obviously now my kids have lost their sense of belonging, because everything that they've been doing, your adventurer, your children's ministries events, we were all Cape Town, like we're following the Cape Town. And now we come back, it's October, it's towards the end of the year. So sometimes we'd have to skip church just for me to protect my kids from just going to church and then feeling lost while they are in it. And they would never even understand, Mama, why are we not going to church this Sabbath, you know? So it would kill me. it would just kill me.
And did you find yourself struggling to pray at this time, or what?
I think it helps to remember where the Lord has taken you from.
Yeah.
Because if I had to depend on what I was seeing just with my naked eye, it was going to be hard.
Yeah.
I think if you allow me, if you remember the quotation from Testimonies Volume 9, the book of Mrs. White, where she says, "We have nothing to fear for the future,
yes,
except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and his teachings in our past history." So for me, I knew where I come from with the Lord.
Yeah.
So I kept on saying, if this is the God that I have known, this is the God I have been convicted of, and I don't think anything is going to remove me from here. Mm. But I will admit that there were triggers. Triggers will be all over. One minute I'll be confessing the promises of God, confessing his power, and then the next minute I am just full of memory, you know? So that thing will still be there. And I never doubted that God is going to come through for me. So I was under pressure all the time to be communicating with him. My desperation was coming from, I don't know if I can be able to hold on until God shows up. This is why I think in January, I then gave the Lord an ultimatum. I don't even know if this is a good idea to suggest to the saints, but I was like, no, Lord, I need a fresh testimony. I need a fresh testimony. In these 10 days of prayer, you are going to hear me, and I am going to come out of this thing with a fresh testimony.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to Mapuluhu Tamai, and she's giving us a testimony. She's giving us a testimony of how the Lord came through for her. But she's taking us through the steps. She's taking us through what she went through. And here's the thing. I always love a story with a good ending, because when you go through the emotions of what the person went through and you then get to a point where you celebrate what the Lord has done for them or what the Lord did for them through those moments of hardship, really, it makes the story a worthwhile.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.